This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Saturday, September 21st, 2024, the Feast of St. Matthew the Apostle, by Father William Doc Holliday.
He rose up and followed him. The words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be accepted in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Just pointing out, when we read Scripture, we should look at the nuances. We see this familiar story about Levi sitting at the tax table and our Lord calling him, since he arose up and followed him. This man, everybody's heard the story about how much they hated tax collectors, but you really think about it, even the way the nuances of Scripture. Sinners, they were pretty bad guys, if you would say, he hangs out with sinners and tax collectors. But tax collectors are obviously looked down upon even worse than sinners. They're first on the list. He eats with tax collectors and sinners. Sinners are secondary. We see that tax collectors were considered by the Jews as just not below board people who stole things from people. They were actually looked upon as oppressors and traitors to their very nation. So, we look at this and you think about this one who's sitting there, despised by everybody. The Romans didn't like him because he was Jew. The Jews didn't like him because he worked with the Romans, tax collectors and sinners. But you look at this whole, our Lord coming up to him, ask him, follow him, and he arose up and followed him. We got to, when you read Scripture, you need to look at, kind of think, use your imagination. What went on before this incident? I don't mean moments before. I'm talking about, for instance, our Lord calls the fishermen, right? He goes up, they immediately leave their nets and follow him. What was their situation? Several of them, we know for a fact, were disciples of John the Baptist. So they are faithful and holy men, and they're just deepening their faith. St. John the Baptist is actually pointed to our Lord Jesus Christ as the one who is to come, behold, the Lamb of God. So when this Lamb of God that John the Baptist has identified, he comes up and asks them to follow him, they follow him. Okay, they are deepening their faith. They weren't where they should be, because none of us are. We're not where we should be this morning. We should deepen our faith today. We should deepen our faith throughout our life. We're deepening our faith. You have other individuals like Levi. He's sitting at the tax table, being the sinner that he is, and our Lord comes up and says, follow me. Several commentators, it's really weird that this guy would just get up and follow our Lord. I'm like, maybe it's because they're academic. I just don't think in the terms of just academics. I try to do the common sense thing. It's like, think about what might have gone on before this. Do you think for a moment, commentator, why do you presume that Levi had never heard a word about Jesus Christ? He'd never laid eyes on the man before. And this guy just comes up and says, quit doing your job and follow me. Okay. That's not the case. It couldn't be the case. Levi probably undoubtedly had heard stories about Jesus. I mean, he's right there. He might have seen him before, might have sit around and listened to him talk and listened to what other people said about. And now he comes. So it's not just a matter of Jesus just showing up and saying, okay, follow me. Okay. That's not anybody. Think about your own life of faith. That's not how it works. You hear things. You might be a person that was born into a very faithful family. Then you're like the fisherman. I'm faithful, and I just continue to grow my faith, and it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. That's great. But then there's other people like Levi who are eyebrow deep in sin, and they might hear stories. If you think about a the hypothetical pagan kid that the family's not religious at all. They go to school. But they hear about, why do we take days off in December? Because it's Christmas. What's Christmas? Well, this is what Christians believe, that this God came down and dwelt among us. Well, why do we take off in the springtime? Well, it's Easter. Well, it's Easter. That one who was born on Christmas. They're hearing these stories. Doesn't mean a thing to them. But maybe later on in life, all of a sudden, things start to fall into place for one reason or another. This is Levi. And so it runs this gamut of to when our Lord calls. And we should never just look at these scripture stories on their face and go, oh, well, you know, Jesus just shows up and somewhat miraculously people follow him. That doesn't work that way. Well, not always. Like St. Paul, you know, sometimes Jesus does show up and hit you in the head with a brick and all of a sudden you get the deal. That's not many people. Okay. It's more like this. And this is what I mean about the nuance. We just don't look at these scripture passages and go, oh, okay. And there were other things that went on. There were other things on. We need to consider those because they really kind of inform our own life of faith. And it also informs the way we should treat and act toward others, particularly those who are not there yet. Could the apostles, like when our Lord calls Levi, could the other apostles, oh my gosh, a tax collector. God, you know, we hung out with John the Baptist for years, you know, we learned all this stuff, you know, we're faithful, we adhere to the law and everything like that. This guy, we don't want to approach people because guess what? They're all apostles now. They've all come from different ways, but they're all apostles now. Levi rises up and follows him. Yeah. Why? Well, we don't know all the background to it, but why? Because Jesus called. And it is him that is the catalyst for that ultimate decision. We change immediately when we, sometimes it is like a light switch that gets thrown. Hey, this stuff is for real. I am a sinner and I'm not going to go to heaven. I can't earn my way into heaven. You know, it doesn't, I can't do this and do that and get myself into heaven. You know, as we progress in faith, it can come slowly. It can come quickly. The fisherman versus Levi. Slowly, quickly, a change of identity. This is why, you know, in Mark and Luke, we hear Levi was sitting at the tax office. Then in Matthew, we hear Matthew was, which one is it, Levi or Matthew? Yes. Again, those are those little things that you got to look at in scripture. Well, why was it? Well, because one thing, Matthew's writing this one, and he probably doesn't want to associate himself with the old days. He wants to be Matthew. He wants to be the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. He really, the other apostles, Levi. The differences, they're not contradictions. They fill in the blanks for each other. So when we talk about our own faith, and particularly us ahead, the way we look at others, we've got to be careful. The Pharisees are a prime example. You got to be careful. You think about it, we don't want to fall into the way they approach the whole deal. Why does your master eat with tax collectors and sinners? You know, you really look at that even that word of it, I always like to put inflections, possible inflections of how our Lord said things or how the Pharisees said. You really look at the Pharisees here. Oh, we're always looking at the hostility with the Pharisees. They're always hostile to our Lord. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Did it necessarily have to be that way? Maybe they were just really surprised that he would do that. Because for one thing, it was a tremendous violation of law for one to hang out with Gentiles or Jews who did not practice their faith. Gentiles were born that way. Jews who didn't practice their faith, that's even worse. And no rabbi, no Jew is supposed to do this, much less a rabbi. So when the Pharisees see a rabbi eating with that, there would be a tremendous element of surprise, not necessarily hostility, although they were always hostile to our Lord. So, you know, we don't want to discount that completely, but you know, just out of utter surprise, we're hearing a lot of great things about this guy. And, you know, we have heard him teaching. We can't refute a lot about it. Not that they've been trying to refute him up to this point, but you know, they've listened to him. And oh my gosh, he's eating with tax collectors and sinners. What's up with that? Okay, so again, it could be a little bit more surprise or completely surprise as opposed to hostility. But either or, either approach is wrong. Because particularly if our Lord is the one, the rabbi who is adhering to the law and adhering to the faith, you know, and up to this point, they don't have any question about that. So, you know, their whole approach is, it's not inquisitive into what, you know, what good could come of this? It's negative. How can he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Whether it be surprise or hostility, as opposed to, I wonder what's going on with this. This is the kind of inquisitive mind we have because the Holy Spirit works like that. Because when we understand that the Holy Spirit isn't all about the outward presentation of things, like the Pharisees did, this is why our Lord looks at them and quotes from Hosea. The prophet Hosea says in chapter 6 of the prophecy, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than holocausts or victims that they burned up on the Lord, the animals that they sacrificed. I don't live on your animals, okay? Yeah, this is part of the outward exterior presentation of your love for me. That's fine. But first and foremost, I want you to have a knowledge of God, how he works, what he does. This is why you don't want to approach things, you know, without a first and foremost, the inquisitive mindset. What could God be doing in this? You got a wayward family member or friend, and is it, you know, mad, angry, you know, how could this happen? Whatever the reaction is, step back. What could God be doing in this? What could God be doing in this situation? You know, because we're very selfish. I'm torn up about this. God's working in you. He's working in another person. He's working in all kinds of people who are witnessing this whole thing. So we got to be in that inquisitive mindset to know that we don't know how God works. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. All that he compares and contrasts us to him time and time again. You don't get what I'm doing all the time. As a matter of fact, I think we get what he does very little. We just have enough to get us by. But the way he works in different situations, we have no clue. And this is what he's saying. This is why our Lord quotes the prophet. I want you to have a knowledge of what I'm doing, not sit there and criticize what I'm doing. Because we look at the people, you know, who are they talking? Tax collectors and sinners. Every created being, human being, bears the likeness and image of God. Every single one of them. It doesn't matter how bad they are. Does not matter how bad they are. As long as you're taking air in your lungs in this world, you bear the image and likeness of God, and there is opportunity for your redemption. This is the way we should look at these things. And, you know, Levi, why don't they complain about, he hangs out with fishermen? How low class is that? They don't say that. He hangs out with tax collectors and sinners. He's working in everybody, slowly but surely. This is why the first reading today in Ephesians, it kind of sums this all up, as to not approaching what our Lord may be doing in what we would consider a vile sinner's life. Oh man, you know, he's never going to go to heaven and all that kind of, I know there's a bunch of people who have a very surprised look on their face when they see me dressed like this. Why? Because they knew me back in the day. What? Yeah. Okay. This is the way God works. And we never want to question we actually want to be inquisitive as to how he may be working in somebody and to do our part and try to nudge that along. That's called evangelism. We need to, as it says in Ephesians, we need, because this is, like I said, it sums it up on how we should approach it. We need to walk worthy of our vocation. Just like the fishermen were called, just like the tax collector was called, we were called also. We got to rise up and follow him. We need to walk worthy of our vocation with all humility, realizing, because it is very easy to fall into that hole once you have arisen up and followed him, to look at people who have not done it yet and kind of be critical about them. that is prideful. That's prideful. It's a holy pride, and it's still, it's not on the positive holy pride side. Okay, we're taking pride in what we are doing and where we are with the Lord as opposed to what he's done with us. With all humility, with patience, supporting one another in charity, careful to keep the unity of the Spirit and bond of peace. Like you said before, what would have happened if the apostles were all hanging out and, okay, yeah, we were John the Baptist's disciples. We've always been good Jews. You know, you've been a tax collector. That would be discord. And demons thrive on discord. We need order in our lives. So when we look at this, we need to understand that we need to work in the spirit of the bond of peace with people that our Lord has called into his body. Whether we agree with the way that part of the body may work, or who are we to judge our master servant, as St. Paul says. Because there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body of Christ, different members, and they all come from different places. And they all have different backgrounds, and we should, in humility and patience, deal with that. Because, newsflash, our Lord, I'll speak for myself, he uses the utmost of patience with me. And I think most of us can agree with that. But there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. After they ask him the question, they that are in health need not a physician, but they that are ill. That's every single one of us. This world's a big hospital, for lack of a better term. And everybody that's born into it is sick. Some of them just have a bad case of the flu. Others have horrendous illnesses that need a whole lot more attention. Some people are in the hospital because of trauma that leaves them injured and broken. Our Lord fixes all this stuff. He's the physician. We need to approach it, as opposed to looking at people as tax collectors and sinners. We should look at them as our Lord does, as the sick who need a physician. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.